This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
All right. What is going on, everybody? And welcome to another episode of Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and it is good to be back on another episode of this podcast that is all things Madridismo, all things Real Madrid, and only Real Madrid. I talk about other football sometimes and other things as well. But of course, the focus is to focus on Real Madrid, the greatest team in all the land. You know, good to be back. Like I said on the last podcast, you know, it had been a while since I had done a podcast, and I just wanted to pick up after last season. I kind of left mid-season because I got busy, and now I decided, you know, I gotta get back to doing this thing. You know, I really love doing it. It's like my creative outlet, and you know, I'm happy to do it. I think a lot of you guys enjoy it. Some people have already texted me back and said, you know, or written me back and commented on the video saying, you know, it's cool to hear me again, or cool to hear the podcast again. So, you know, thank you for that. It's not a lot of you. I think I got to rebuild some of the following, but you know, that's what it is. I mean, this thing is something, you know, I do for myself. Really, I like talking about football. I've always loved radio. I did radio for a few years, worked in radio. Did a podcast for many years about combat sports. And so I think it's just, you know, I enjoy doing podcasts. I think it's such a cool thing to be able to communicate your thoughts with the world and then have people, you know, join in and listen and then possibly create a community, around it. And what better community than, of course, football? And football really allows you to do it because there's just, every season is essentially almost like a new season of every season of football is basically like a new season of, you know, your favorite TV show. You know, it brings new drama, it brings new characters, it brings, you know, new victories, new defeats, reasons to be angry, reasons to be happy, reasons to be sad. There's all sorts of things that happen every season. And so I think doing a podcast about football, and especially if you're a fan of a certain team and following that team, is really exciting. So, you know, with everything going on with Real Madrid now and the arrival of Mbappe and the exit of people like Nacho and Toni Kroos and some big names that have left Real Madrid over the past few years, you know, and people who have come, you know, and gone. It's really exciting to do a podcast and continue that excitement and share with everybody. And so I decided, you know, I needed to do that as well for myself. Now my kids are getting older. They enjoy it too, listening to it, telling their friends that daddy has a podcast and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I enjoy doing it as well. So thank you for you guys that support me, and hopefully we can continue to build this up. You know, it's one of those things where I think Real Madrid, of course, being based in Spain, Spanish language, I don't see a lot of outreach, I would say, from Real Madrid when it comes to like the English language. It's mostly in Spanish, so you have to understand the language, kind of understand the culture in Spain as well, understand the media in Spain, which is crazy as well. When it comes to football, you know, how cutthroat they can be, how demanding they are, how they want to search for every little issue that they could possibly search for. You know, there's just a lot of things. It's something that, and I kind of want to be that bridge, you know, and I think other podcasts have done it, but I kind of want to be that bridge as well. And bring some more Madridismo this way stateside, and to the English language for those of you that don't speak Spanish and want to get a little bit more insight as well into what's going on, even in the Spanish media. And I'm going to try to do that more often this season, maybe bring in some articles and, you know, talk about, you know, what's being said. Of course, you know, on places like El Chiringuito, which is one of the main shows, although it's, you know, more of an entertainment show. This sort of I would say it's kind of along the lines of your tabloid sort of press. You know, they want to find controversy. They want to build controversy because that's what sells. And they'll do whatever they can to do that. And, you know, they'll say crazy shit because sometimes in Spain people say crazy stuff. Not all Spaniards, of course, but Spain does have a problem with, you know, with racism and things like that occasionally. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how they kind of just brush all that under the rug sometimes. But regardless of that, you know, this is, you know, I kind of want to bridge that gap and bring, you know, that feeling of Spanish football to the United States. And the funny thing is, recently at my job, this girl that is a temp, you know, so she just, you know, she came in to replace somebody that's going to be out on leave for a bit, right? And so I spoke to this girl, and this girl's from Spain. She's from Madrid, you know, which was, okay, cool, you're from Madrid. But she noticed my desk, because my desk is full of, you know, Real Madrid stuff. And she basically told me that she had graduated. Obviously, she had gone to college being from Madrid. She had gone to college in Madrid. And that she had actually done her internship at Real Madrid. And then later on moved from being doing an internship at Real Madrid into doing an internship for La Liga BBVA, which was what La Liga was before it became La Liga Esports, right? So it was the BBVA, La Liga BBVA, right? So she had actually done her internship in marketing in both of those. So a lot of you guys that if you're Madridistas and you like sign up for the carnet, you know, for the card, the ID card for Real Madrid, and you know, you get the newsletters and all that stuff for being like a, you know, an actual Madridista, a paying Madridista essentially. She was the one who was doing, she was telling me she was the one who was doing all the, you know, helping out with the email blasts, the magazine that gets sent out for Madridistas and everything. And she kind of told me that they really have a small marketing department. It's not as big as you would think for such a large entity that is Real Madrid and such a huge name it is all over the world, that their marketing department is actually quite small, that they, not to say they don't invest in marketing, but they're, you know, it's not like a huge, huge thing that you would think is this really intricate office. So that was interesting to kind of hear that. And I feel like you do get that feeling every once in a while. It's not like they have like this huge community outreach, at least not, you know, they're trying to make more inroads into the United States, but you don't have like, you know, maybe like an official Real Madrid podcast. You do have official Real Madrid TV, but you see a lot more of that. You see it in Spanish. And then, you know, it's not as much as you would think in English or outreach to kind of connect with audiences outside of the US. Although the YouTube channel does a pretty good job as well, but still some of that's short and sweet, I would say. I mean, they do a good job, I guess, for the attention span that there is of a lot of, you know, of the Gen Z, Gen Alpha generation, you know. But with that said, anyway, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons I started jumping on the podcast and I wanted to do it again. And then, you know, after talking to this girl, pretty cool to get like insight into how things functioned at Madrid. So anyway, with that said, you know, this is another day of match day two. The game against Real Valladolid has just ended, and you know, really, it was, yeah, it wasn't what everybody expected. You know, I was, you know, I was commenting on a couple other people's posts about, you know, I was hoping for a BBC era scoreline. You know, those scorelines where we sometimes saw 6-0, 7-2. You know, all these things when Cristiano Ronaldo and Benzema sometimes scoring, both of them scoring a hat trick in a game or multiple people, you know, getting goals, you know. And you were thinking with a team like Valladolid that has just gotten, you know, that has just been promoted, although they had a pretty strong defensive record when they were in La Liga Smart Bank last year. So they're not like an easy team, essentially, you know, to I mean, I think they defended very well. And that's something that we have to realize. A lot of teams in La Liga that are at the lower end of the table are always going to consistently do. And they always consistently do it to us. many times. And sometimes we can break it down, sometimes we can't. I think the last few years has a little more difficult. We don't have those, a number nine, a strong number nine. We did with Joselu coming on last season. Obviously, Benzema was better at being in the box and making those runs into the box and being an out and out number nine. We don't have that as much. We don't have that right now. So sometimes it seems like it's difficult for that kind of football to happen for Real Madrid. But with that said, you know, we still managed to find ways to win. So, I think what was kind of a frustration for people in this game against Real Valladolid was, of course, the fact that everybody was hoping to see the Mbappé show, Mbappé getting his goal at the Bernabeu, making his La Liga debut, but his Bernabeu debut, his home debut in La Liga and scoring, getting his goals. But it's only two games into the season. I think, like I said, the Spanish media, the Spanish press can be cutthroat, but in addition to the Spanish press and the Spanish media being cutthroat, Madridistas can also be cutthroat. Madridistas can, especially the Madridistas in Spain, the Madridistas that I follow in Spain, and then I see like the comments under, it's not they're saying that, Mbappé is terrible or anything like that, but it's kind of like, why did we pay so much for him? What's going on? Da, 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 da. All this kind of strange, that they don't realize that not everybody can just come into La Liga and hit the ground running. It doesn't happen all the time. Jude Bellingham had an amazing season last season, hit the ground running, scored in pretty much like his first, five, six, seven games in a row. Obviously people like Cristiano, people like Ronaldo, would score in their debut opening game. It's not something that always happens, So it's more rare than it is a commonality. So that's the thing that, I find strange that people think, it does make sense, when people talk about how, he did come from Ligue 1, and Ligue 1 is a different level of football. Not to say that Ligue 1 is a terrible league, but La Liga is one of the top leagues in the world for a reason. A lot of people talk about the technicality of the league, how technical the league is. It may not have the pace, of the Premier League, but it's a lot more technical, in my opinion, than the Premier League. And you kind of, he's going to have to get adjusted to that. He's going to have to get adjusted to the fact that, these are new players. He's trying to understand build chemistry with them. And we're starting to see those flashes. It's not like Mbappé didn't do anything in this game. And he also came off, he played his first game in full with Real Madrid and scored a goal on his debut for Real Madrid in a UEFA Super Cup against a team that won the Europa League last year in Atalanta. So it's not like they're an easy team to beat. It's not like, sure, the game against Mallorca was difficult, but Mallorca has been a pain in our butt since, a couple seasons. And today, he wasn't able to score, but he had his chances. There was a ball from the back. Essentially, I don't remember if it was Militao or Rudiger. Long ball right behind the Valladolid defense. Mbappé got on the end of it, struck it towards goal on the volley. It got parried away by the goalkeeper. That was one chance. He took a shot on goal, and he headed the ball on goal, trying to get there, and the goalkeeper stopped that. Then there was a really nice play from Vinicius. Vinicius, does a outside foot pass to Mbappé that's running into the box. He wasn't able to get on the end of it the way he would have liked to. It goes right to the keeper. So there were chances for him to score today. And, and some of those shots that he took today, a lot of times, nine times out of 10, Mbappé scores those. But they just haven't come. And the thing is, it's one of those things that once he scores in La Liga, each competition is different. Once he scores in La Liga, it's going to come. And I really think, you see flashes of brilliance there, obviously, with this team, the talent that we have. I think that's going to happen. So to sort of, you know, the crazy thing is anti-Madridistas are going to talk so much trash, and they're always looking for a reason to talk trash. And it's not just Barcelona fans. It's any anti-Madridista, whether they're from Atletico Madrid or other teams that don't like Real Madrid. Those guys are going to have, you know, those guys are going to talk trash no matter what happens. Even if we win the game 9-0, they're going to say, you know, that we look like garbage and that, as some of the Barcelona player, Barcelona fans say, no jugamos a nada, even though, you know, jugamos a nada means we don't play with like any skill or we don't play with any style, because for them, style means everything, even if over winning. And so they say that, and then, you know, we end up winning, and, you know, they just don't like the way we win. So they're always going to find a reason to bitch and moan. And that's going to, but the funny thing is that we have Madridistas that find reasons to consistently bitch and moan. But it happens to the best of them. It's happened to Cristiano Ronaldo when he wasn't performing or wasn't banging in goals. It happened to Karim Benzema when he wasn't scoring and banging in goals. Bale also got the brunt of it. Players throughout time have gotten the brunt of it. I'm sure we don't have it on video. We don't have videos of it. But I'm sure Alfredo Di Stefano got that stuff from time to time. Paco Gento. I'm pretty sure Raul, of course, got things, yelled at him. Butragueño got things yelled at him. You know, all these people that have been players for Real Madrid, the thing is, it's a very demanding club, because we've already, as Madridistas and Madridismo, have gotten used to greatness. And that's the thing, you know, and especially in the last few years, of course, with the success that we've had in the Champions League and whatnot. But some players take time to adjust. And I think Mbappe is just one of those guys that's going to take time to adjust. But I don't see it as like a Luka Jovic situation where, you know, he went from doing really well at Eintracht Frankfurt and in the Bundesliga and then coming and then being like an absolute dud, you know? And I was one who backed Luka Jovic. I thought he was going to do really well. You know, I was hoping he was. I liked him, you know, and then it didn't happen. But with Mbappe, you have a proven product that scored multiple times. He's won a World Cup. He's been there. He's done that against some of the best teams in the world and defenders in the world. So, and he's even made us look our defense look pedestrian at times when we played against him in the Champions League. It's happened, you know. So it's not that Mbappe can't do it. It's just that he's doing it with a new set of players in a new league. I think he feels like he has a lot of stuff to prove to Madridistas, especially considering, you know, the long drawn out saga and how much he feels he owes the team in order to kind of get into the good graces of all of those Madridistas, myself included, that were kind of thinking that he was a rat, you know, after a while, because he didn't, you know, come right away when we wanted him. So I think he's got to, like, I mean, now I've already forgiven the dude. He's here. You know, he's shown that he's, you know, after so much time, he's shown, you know, that he really wants to be here. I don't think you got to hold it against him. And I think he's going to consistently try to win. And I think it comes down a lot to, you know, obviously he's not playing in his favorite position, which is out on the left wing. And I think that's going to be an issue right now, because we're seeing he's kind of trying to adjust to that position as a number nine. You know, they're playing in a, so, you know, to go into the game, you know, every time people are putting up these lineups, they're putting it as a 4-3-3, because that's what we think. Obviously it's a 4-3-3 because we have three attackers, you know, and then we have, you know, you have Vinicius, who is a natural left winger, and then you have Rodrigo, who's playing as a right winger, but is also a natural left winger. And then you have Mbappe, who's playing as a number nine, but is also a natural left winger. But you're playing them up top as a left winger, striker, and a right winger. So you're playing them as a top three, right? As a forward three, as an attacking three. 4-3-3, you know, that's what we're thinking is going to be the strategy, right? And then it kind of morphed into, you know, and that's kind of where I feel like I was watching parts of the game, and it gets to a point where you kind of don't understand, like, because Rodrigo, you know, I think the idea is that they want them to move. Obviously, the idea is they want to rotate positions. So, you know, Vinicius to go out right sometimes, and Rodrigo to go out left sometimes, and Mbappe to go out left, and Rodrigo to go to the middle and do that. But since all of them are naturally left wingers, or that's where they feel most comfortable, we've seen that consistently. We've seen that in the last few games where they just all end up venturing over to the left-hand side of the pitch, and then there's nobody kind of on the right-hand side, unless it's Valverde making runs there up that side. Guler seemed like he was moving into that direction, and Tchouaméni and Valverde staying back, and then obviously Carvajal making the runs up the right flank, and Guler kind of shifting out there to a right-wing position, which is, you know, his favorite position. So that kind of stream. So it ended up being, in some ways, where we ended up with a 4-2-4. So essentially we have in two midfielders, and then we have four people playing as attackers, but most of them are on the left wing, and then you have Guler on the right wing. But then the funny thing is, on paper, essentially, you know, when you look at Google, when you look at the lineups, how they're presenting them in La Liga, it's going out as a 4-2-3-1. So essentially going with Mbappe as your number nine, Rodrigo as your right winger, or your right mid, however you want to say it there, your right midfielder, Arda Güler as a cam, essentially as in a number 10 role, and Vinicius on the left-hand side. And then you have a double pivot of Valverde and Tchouaméni. Now, that doesn't seem to work too well, considering, I mean, I don't see Tchouaméni, I mean, I don't see Valverde as like a double pivot. You know, he's a box-to-box midfielder. You know, he's just a tank that essentially, an Energizer bunny, for those of you that remember that commercial. But just a nonstop tank, you know, just this machine that just goes up and down the field no matter what. He'll come back and defend. He'll try to go get into the half spaces and take a shot on goal. You know, he'll try to do all these kind of things from outside the box. But you don't see it as – so, you know, it was worrisome in the last game where it sort of seemed like we were lacking a midfield because, you know, Bellingham, in lieu of Arda Güler not being in, Bellingham was doing the same thing and going into like an attacking role. So you ended up having – what looked like a 4-2-4 system, but everybody shifted to the left. So I think they have to sort that out. And honestly, I still think, and I've heard it from other pundits, that I really think that the way to solve that issue is and kind of go back to where we were last season, although Ancelotti pretty much says he's not going to do it, is really playing that 4-4-2 diamond. You know, so that diamond formation. And I would love to see either Brahim or Arda Güler, given how Brahim performed today, or Arda Güler at the tip of that spear, essentially, having Tchouaméni or Camavinga as, you know, your defensive midfielder, and then having your two CMs be Valverde and be Jude Bellingham, you know, when Jude Bellingham is fit. If not, it could be Valverde and Arda Güler, although, you know, Arda Güler, I would think of him more, seeing him more in the attacking role. I think he's just so good at, he just, you know, he's giving me, I mean, you know, his vibe, the work rate of this kid, the creativity of this kid, the shot that he has on goal, his passing, everything, Arda Güler seems like he has it. He has the talent, and we really can use this kid. Same thing with Brahim Diaz. Obviously, Endrick scores a goal today. He's the one who makes his La Liga debut instead of Mbappe. So it was, you know, I still think those are the issues that need to be solved. And we're going to see how Ancelotti solves that issue, because Mbappe looks uncomfortable playing in that number nine role. Now, if he played as two strikers, I mean, I think he's going to be a little bit also feeling a little strange being in that role as well. If we play this 4-3-3 role, or 4-2-3-1 role, I don't see it working, because we're running into this consistent situation where Rodrigo is floating over to the left and Mbappe is staying on the left and, Vinicius is out on the left. Vinicius does a good job of hugging the sideline and being really, really out wide and then coming in. While Mbappe, you know, he'll kind of stay more centralized. He's doing a good job there. So, I mean, Vinicius. And then what I'm seeing from a lot of the players is that everyone's working in a way. Vinicius, like, people want to hate on Vinicius' game today. I think he had a worse game against Mallorca because he was letting things get into his head. But today he showed all the brilliance that we know Vinicius has. But the one thing that he was doing consistently throughout the game was even when he had opportunities to make a run and go for one-on-ones and then take a shot, it was more like he was consistently looking for Mbappe, consistently looking to give Mbappe his goal, working for Mbappe. And maybe that's his way of wanting to give back to the team and build chemistry with Mbappe and also get Mbappe off, you know, off to the races as, you know, in a way, in a sense, to get him to get his goal, to get his confidence in La Liga, to build that and then kind of build that camaraderie with him. That's what it seems like they're all trying to do. They're all trying to work and find Mbappe. At least that's what I felt from Vinicius most of all. Trying to get him to get his goal. And a lot of them are trying to do that. Rodrigo, I felt, you know, I like Rodrigo a lot. But, you know, if I'm going to have Vinicius and Mbappe, I mean, if I'm going to choose between those three, I would rather start with Vinicius and Mbappe with that, like, 4-4-2 diamond formation. So that is where, you know, I think you kind of get the wrath of people because I think Rodrigo did such a good job last season as that super sub that would come on and could change the game because he has the pace, he has the dribbling skills. The team, let's say the opponent is already getting tired out, you know, so you can bring this guy in that's going to be able to change the game. Now, obviously, now we have sort of an embarrassment of riches because now we have guys like we saw today where Brahim comes in and changes the pace of the game immediately. Luka Modric, obviously, with, you know, somebody was saying that, you know, we're going to probably see throughout this season the 30 minutes of Luka Modric being, you know, the last 30 minutes of the game, him coming on and making that difference and kind of setting, kind of being that metronome type player that Kroos was in a way. Because, you know, Luka Modric has that ability to make passes and hold up the ball and be creative as well. Not to the same degree. He's a different player than Toni Kroos. He's not, you know, going to do these, you know, incredible sniping, you know, passes through the middle and just cutting passes, but he can create and he can, you know, run into the box, create space, find passes. He can definitely, you know, be that sort of calming force that we need towards, you know, say the end of the game to close out a game, right? And he did. He came on and he was a much better in this game. Once they came on and then Brahim came on, it made a huge difference. I think because their roles were already more defined. They already kind of knew what they were going to do, I think. And then Brahim is more of a natural right winger. He was doing better in that position, although he didn't really play much of that position, I would say. You know, I think I really want to go back to that 4-4-2 and see what they can do with having either Brahim or Arda Güler at the tip of that diamond. Or if you're going to have a 4-3-3, have a natural right winger, you know, to start it so that you can maybe Vinicius and Mbappe can be switching, but you have your natural right winger with either Arda Güler or Brahim kind of being that right winger. And then in the second half of the game, you can have somebody like Rodrigo come in and make runs at the defense with his dribbling skills and his speed and his change of pace and his ability to take shots on goal and his goal scoring abilities. Usually when he's playing as a super sub, he comes in and he's the one who, you know, ends up winning games for us sometimes. I think that's another option there. But the situation right now, I just think there's too many cooks in the kitchen, as you want to say, as some people would like to say, you know. It just seems like because they're all natural left wingers, they're all floating in that direction. Nobody wants to make the switch to the right wing. Nobody wants to make the switch to being running to the center because they're all naturally wanting to be on the left-hand side, which is where they're naturally going to gravitate to. So that's where I think the issue is right now with Real Madrid, and maybe why we're not seeing the goals coming as easily. But they'll come. I mean, I definitely think they're coming. The flashes of brilliance are there. Vinicius played a great game today. I think he played a great game today. He had the ability to, he showcased what he can do. Like I said, I think he was playing to really kind of prop up Mbappe and get Mbappe started and going and give Mbappe the service in order to score. I think that's kind of what we saw there. I think Rodrigo didn't have the greatest of games today. I thought Arda Güler was fantastic today. You know, being in there behind the strikers, venturing right to the right wing when he could. Valverde also did a great job. Endrick did a great job, you know, scoring his debut goal. Brahim obviously was amazing and seems to be somebody who, when he comes on, is always a breath of fresh air and adds pace and adds just class to the way he plays. You know, that goal that he scored, you know, a ball out from the back from Militao goes over the top of the defense. He's able to control it. He's able to beat the back line, even with him being the shorter guy, able to, you know, use his body to get the positioning behind the defender and then essentially catch the goalkeeper out of no man's land. Nice little, you know, volley, nice little chip over the top, essentially. Not really a chip, but obviously kind of like a volley over the top of the goalkeeper, floating it over him, scoring that goal. And then Endrick, he did it again. He played, you know, another, actually was a great play by Ceballos coming in. Ceballos looked like he was having a difficulty getting out of our defensive area because, you know, Valladolid were pressing up more because of towards the end of the game now. And Ceballos did a great job of working his way out of the back, dribbling out of the back, getting the ball to Brahim. Brahim makes the run to, opens it up to Endrick. Endrick makes the space for himself with his weak foot. Hits an absolute missile, you know, just line drive kind of missile, you know, to the near post of the goalkeeper. Goalkeeper goes for it, but it was just too fast and too strong, and he scores a great goal. So was it a perfect game? No, but we came away. Like, that's the crazy thing about Madrid, man, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about Madrid. The stars didn't show up today, let's say, with your Rodrigo, your Mbappe, Vinicius. You know, they weren't the guys who were able to score the goal today. Guys come off the bench. They're the ones who end up scoring the goals. Obviously, Valverde scored with a great free kick that takes a deflection, goes in the goal. That opens up scoring for us. It obviously is going to obligate Real Valladolid to come out more because they're going to want to at least try to grab a point from the game, even though that they know that's going to be difficult. So it opens up spaces for Real Madrid to do things. But, you know, that's the thing about Real Madrid is we find ways to win. Even when the stars don't shine, now we have this bench that we can have guys. And, you know, keep in mind, Jude Bellingham wasn't there today. Camavinga wasn't there today. You know, Ferland Mendy wasn't there today, although Ferland Mendy, I think, doesn't offer as much going forward as Fran Garcia does. You know, Fran Garcia, to me, always scares me a little bit because he likes to bomb forward and then, you know, doesn't always come back or isn't able to come back and defend as well as Ferland Mendy does. But Ferland Mendy doesn't give you that attack on the left-hand side that Fran Garcia does. So really, I mean, it was a game that, going back to what I was just saying, is the players, the stars didn't show up, and then we have this bench that can come off, that can come, you know, into the game, the likes of Brahim, the likes of Luka Modric, the likes of Endrick, and they can win games for you. So if the other guys aren't performing, these guys can come in. So that was something, you know, now we're talking about having a deeper squad. I think they're doing a better job there. And I think that's going to be important as the season goes on, since we're going to have a lot of games, whether it's Champions League, Club World Cup, you know, all these kind of things, Copa del Rey. Then, you know, each player going off for their international breaks. We need that. And so what happened today is actually, I think, in a lot of ways bodes well. But the thing is, a lot of people are waiting for Mbappé to show up. We want to see what Mbappé and what Vinicius and Mbappé and Rodrigo can do, or Vinicius, Rodrigo, Mbappé and Bellingham can do. And so we're worried about that. And, you know, people are disappointed that he hasn't been able to score yet, and it's only the second game of the season. So that's where I think it's funny. You know, just it's the second game of the season. These guys are going to gel. We see the flashes of brilliance that they have there. It will come. And once it comes, I think it's going to open the floodgates for this guy. And the other thing is Valladolid. Look at the game that Valladolid played. And of course, that's going to happen for a lot of games in La Liga, is that we're going to see these guys, these other teams in La Liga that are in the lower half of the table, especially these guys that have just come up from second division, whether it's Espanyol, whether it's Real Valladolid, Leganés, these teams are going to try to sit back consistently against us. I mean, they did it. They did it today to perfection. Mallorca defended well the other day at San Moy. You know, they're going to try and do that. And so we have to find a way to beat them. Now, is it going to be with, you know, triangulating passes and skipping through the defenders that way and finding space that way? Or is it going to be taking shots from distance, set pieces? Is it going to be, you know, putting crosses into the box? We don't have a number nine, like a big physical number nine, to be sort of the outlet for that. So, you know, that is going to be the situation, is how are we going to break down when players play that way against us, when teams play that way against us? And I think that goes for any tough team. Any tough team is going to play, when they play these lower-ranked teams, are going to face these low blocks, and sometimes it's just difficult to break those teams down. And we were able to do it today at the end of the game. The first half was dire because they were defending so well. It seemed like they had no desire to even get out of their own box. You had five defenders and a midfield of four players, and then one guy up top, which was Marcos André. That was the only outlet they had, and they were just basically huffing balls upfield, hoofing balls upfield to try to get him on the end of one, which wasn't going to happen. So, you know, these guys were just sitting back and waiting for a miracle. And, you know, that's how some of these teams are going to play. And it's frustrating. And then it was frustrating that we couldn't break them down. And it was frustrating because we weren't really finding, our passes weren't gelling in the first half. We weren't really finding opportunities to shoot. But it was also because they were defending very well. But it was also because we weren't passing well either. I misplaced passes. I don't know if it was a lack of a sense of urgency, sort of. Maybe I felt like it was a little bit of a lack of a sense of urgency, not worrying so much, just kind of try to play a game very calm and move the ball around and try to get through, find a way through. But we weren't able to get that many shots on goal in the first half. And then in the second half, obviously, once the goal came from Fede Valverde, then everything starts opening up and we saw a game that was more like what we wanted to see. So I think that's where everyone is still waiting to see what happens with Real Madrid and how we grow into the season. But we had a draw the first game. We have a win the second game. It's 3 points. We're 4 points. We're in fourth place right now on the table. There's still so many games to go, 36 games to go. So I think everybody, like a lot of these people, just need to take a chill pill and relax. The goals are going to come, ladies and gentlemen. I think we are going to figure out, Carleto is going to figure out, and that's another thing, these people that like hate on Carleto and just consistently, you're talking about one of the winningest coaches of all time, and people think that they have a better solution. And, we need a modern coach, you know, like a Nagelsmann or a Klopp, and we need, you know, that is going to do the Gegenpress, and, you know, it's just like, relax, let him play and let him figure it out. He's done it. He did it last season. He's done it before. And I think this season he's going to do it again. And I'm going to stick with him until there's no reason to stick with him anymore. And unless we're absolutely falling flat on our face consistently, you know, which I don't think it would even get there if we were to lose like three in a row. I think there would already be an issue there. He wouldn't even get to, you know, two in a row is even bad for Real Madrid. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think we're going to continue to grow into the season. We are going to win. We are going to figure things out. Mbappe is going to get his goals. Endrick is going to get goals. Brahim is going to get goals. Arda Güler is going to find goals. And I think we're going to have a phenomenal season. Just let these guys grow into the season. Let these guys grow. It's only the second game of the season. It's still very early. Just wait. It's all going to happen. I have nothing but faith this season. I am more confident this season than I was last season and then the season before that, you know, which were crazy because those were seasons that nobody was expecting things from Real Madrid and we pulled it off, you know. Now everyone's expecting things from Real Madrid. Could we possibly not pull it off? Yeah, because, I mean, that does happen too. You can't win all the time, but I'm pretty sure with this team that we currently have and the what we've done with them in the past, they are going to find a way. And with Carlo Ancelotti, we're going to find a way to win. We are going to continue on this winning. We're going to continue to evolve and get better. I just don't see how you can think that somebody like Mbappe is going to go from being such a phenomenal player in, you know, in when he was in Ligue 1 and with the French national team to just all of a sudden being terrible. I think what happens is he had a rough season last season, knowing he wanted to leave PSG. You know, obviously the Euro wasn't his best performance either, but it wasn't France's best performance either. So I think, you know, he feels like he has something to prove, and maybe he's putting a lot of pressure on his shoulders. And the fan base is putting a lot of pressure on his shoulders, but I'm pretty sure he's going to figure it out. And he's got a solid team and a solid manager around him that want to see him succeed, are working, giving him the opportunities, trying to feed him the passes and create the opportunities for him to succeed. They did it for today, and just so happens that they did it for him today, and just so happens that those didn't go in. Next game, maybe they will go in. You know, we're going to face Las Palmas. In Las Palmas, of course, in the Canary Islands. I think, you know, that's going to be another opportunity for us to win and score some goals. And I think we can do it against Las Palmas, who ended their season really badly last season. They didn't have a good run of form towards the end of last season. So far this season, I haven't taken a look at where they're at on the table. I think they lost again today. I think they lost against Leganés. So, you know, I think we can obviously continue to evolve with these games and be ready for the harder games as they come up. So relax, guys. A la Madrid. We're going to be doing good things. And we're going to be continuing to see how to improve. So and we're going to continue improving. All right. With that said, guys, if you want to listen to the podcast, of course, we are available on everywhere you find your podcasts. Follow us on Inadamas on Twitter, at Inadamas Podcast on Twitter or X, at Inadamas Podcast on YouTube, at YNM Podcast on Instagram, at Inadamas Podcast on Facebook. And if you want to shoot me an email, listen, I'm looking for people who want to write for the website at basically, it's info@inadamas.net is the email. So if you want to write for our website, which is inadamas.net, check us out. Hit me up. I'm trying to get more writers because I really need help on the website as opposed to just the podcast. So thank you guys. You know, help me out with that. Remember, if you are watching the video or you're not watching the video, sorry, or if you're listening, remember we have our podcast on YouTube. Please like, subscribe, help me out, grow the channel on YouTube. That's, you know, one of the biggest things that I'm looking to do is grow. You know, you put so much effort into video. Audio is one thing, but you put so much effort into video. If you guys like to listen to podcasts, stay on the, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, everything like that. But if you guys like to see the video version, check it out at on YouTube, at Inadamas Podcast on YouTube. All right, guys, that's it from my end. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for tuning in. And I'll talk to you again this weekend. So there won't be a podcast midweek for after the Las Palmas game. Just can't do it. So basically, the next podcast will be a little bit longer as we review what happened with Las Palmas. And I believe we play Rayo Vallecano. I believe we play next weekend is who I think we face off against next weekend. I might be right. I might be wrong. Okay. But that's it from my end, guys. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.